Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Hello there, and welcome to this Monday postcast. I'm Maddie Plale, joined as per usual with Tom Siegel and Darren Hughes from Paddy Power. Racing's been a bit down in the dumps this week with the weather. We lost Newbury on Saturday, that good Greatwood Gold Cup meeting. And we've also got fears of coronavirus heading into the Cheltenham Festival. So the sport's rather holding its breath at the moment, but no fear. We're here to look back on all the performances from the weekend and have some talking points about the big issues in the sport. So stay with us. First off then, we're going to review Doncaster. It was Grimthorpe Chase Day and the big feature was won by Captain Chaos for the Skelton brothers. Pretty relentless performance this in atrocious conditions, and his second place in the Classic Chase at Warwick last time. He got the better of Worthy Farm this time around in just a really strong staying display. Tom, Captain Chaos, I mean, he's not in the Grand National. I don't think he wouldn't probably get a run anyway, but he's a really likeable horse who seems to have really hit his stride this season.
Yeah, I love those conditions, doesn't he? It was a lived up to its name, didn't it? The old Grimthorpe Chase. It wasn't great watching, was it, with those horses? You know, how many finished, Maddie? Two or three?
Three, I think.
But it was, he got home. None of the others did. Simple as.
Yeah, I think they've muted.
I mean, it was just, what can you say? I mean, so few horses are going to act under those conditions that he does. We know he does. I think we're probably going to go on to say, is it a boat boost for Kimberlite Candy? Don't think it means anything, that race, if I'm totally honest. Mm. It just means he could jump and run in that ground when none of the others could.
Okay, so you wouldn't necessarily be taking that as a pro for Kimberlite Candy. The Bet365 Gold Cup at Sandown's been muted as a possibility for him. Would that interest you? Would he interest you for a race like that?
Not at all, no. I think, you know, once he gets taken on in the lead and quicker ground, you know, he doesn't win very often anyway, does he? Mm. You know, before Saturday, we wouldn't have had him down as a Bet365 winner. He wins one race in the mud, where two finish, and all of a sudden we're talking about races like that. Not for me, no.
Okay, nice and short and sweet summed up. Darren, would you look at it any different to Tom, Captain Chaos?
Pretty much word for word agreement, yeah. Fairly exposed, just he went in the ground when the others didn't, really. I think if you're taking that form literally, you might need to go back to the drawing board again. He was grand. Look, he won. They'll be delighted with him, but yeah, no, I wouldn't read too deeply into it now, to be honest.
Yeah, he had his day in the sun, didn't he? Let's move on to Gino Trail then, a lovely old timer. What a great veteran he is. And he put up a great performance. Paul Keeley tipped him, I believe. That was excellent. That price crashed late on, didn't it? But this horse has entered in the Grand Annual, so it does give us an opportunity to talk about one of the Cheltenham Festival races, a race that went to an old timer in Croco Bay last year. Tom, Gino Trail, would you give him any chance at Cheltenham?
Blimey, he had a hard race, didn't he, Maddie? Backing up after a long time absence like that, 13-year-old, have to be bottomless, wouldn't it, to give him any sort of chance? No, I really wouldn't.
Mm.
I mean, he's a great old, he's been placed in it before. He could, look, if he gets there and it's soft ground, you wouldn't be surprised to see him run well. He'll get out front. That's a big advantage in that race. I mean, if you notice over the years, Croco Bay, you talked about him, won it last year. If you can get out in front in those 25-runner handicaps around Cheltenham, it gives you a big advantage. So he has the run style to run well, but he's a 13-year-old coming the back off a really hard racer. He would go against everything I believe in horse racing if he's to win.
Okay, that's strong, strong stuff. You did an anti-post price-wise on the handicaps, and one of which came in the Grand Annual. Just reveal who your selection was.
Well, looking at I hope he gets in. I just like novices in handicaps. I always have done. If you look back through the Cheltenham Festival in recent years, novices have done well. Kustar, Silvola, also Noel Meads, won by Miles, the Mild Mare Fleet. They just do well. They always do well. So I was looking for a novice in all those handicap chases, really. I mean, if you look at the prices for them, simply the bets is a novice, he's favourite for the plate. So I sort of ended up on the slopes at a big price. Now, he was third to simply the bets and Imperial Aura in that novice chase on trials day. It's always a really good race, that. And if you watch the race again, coming into the straight, he'd gone past simply the bets and Imperial Aura, and it looked like he was going to win. He simply didn't stay 2.5 miles. Now he's back at 2 miles for the Grand Annual. He dropped back for 2-2 at 2-2-2 at Kempton the other day. It was really impressive. Look, he's just a novice in a handicap chase. That's the angle I went for. He's number 43, I think, on the list, so he might not get in. But that's what I look for in those handicap chases. I look for unexposed horses, and he's one.
Yeah, I think I was on quotes duty grabbing lines from Chris Gordon, and he sort of suggested that he's the slower horse at home compared to Comanche Red, who also comes from the stable. But it's interesting that you say he seems to have that amount of pace. So the drop back to 2 miles should suit him. Darren, I mean, Gino Trail, presume he wouldn't be your sort of selection for the Grand Annual. Have you got your eye on anything else?
Certainly wouldn't be my selection for it, no. I generally wait till near the day. I think it's just very, it can be very difficult to drill down these handicaps at this stage without knowing exactly what runs, etc. We cut Gino Trail to 20s and 25s for the Grand Annual. And Tom's selection on the slow is 14 from 20. Grenadine heads that market at 7-1 for Paul Nicholls. He would look progressive, but again, you're looking to take on favourites in races like that. Again, no more than the race previous. I wouldn't read too much into it, but it was nice to see him have his day in the sun again. He's what, 13 now, is he? Yes, that was nice. Look, and he showed like a cracking attitude, as in they came to him two out in the last as well, and he kept pulling out more and pulling out more. So it's good to see. Good watch.
Yeah, it's interesting. We're talking about that Grand Annual and other races on the Friday of Cheltenham. We did a piece in the paper today about how much is bet on those races. The Fox Hunter, I think, was in the top 10, and the Martin Pipe as well. So people clearly like to roll with the punches on the Friday of the Cheltenham Festival. A lot of money to be traded in those races. Let's move on to Kelso then. And one of the biggest races of the season is, of course, the Grand National. And definitely Red staked his claims for it when winning up there. Again, I think... was it a similar performance to Captain Chaos in that he just outstayed them and outclassed them, Tom? Do you think he was entitled to do that, wasn't he?
Oh, I like him, Maddie. I think he's got a really good chance in the National.
Brian Ellison thinks so.
He's a good picture in the background too, yeah. I think he's got a really good... I mean, this is a proper class horse, this. I mean, this horse was fancied for a Gold Cup. I mean, we're not talking about Captain Chaos running around Warwick or someone. This is a proper horse with a proper preparation, and... he could run really well. He ran really well in the Beecher. He stays, he jumps, he's got a nice weight. He's been trained for the race all day. He's 11, lots of 11-year-olds have won it. I was just looking, researching that this very morning. Neptune Collins, Pinot de Rey, another one. Well, three 11-year-olds won it on the trot. It's not a barrier to success being an old horse in the National. I like him. I think he'll run really well.
He was unlucky, wasn't he, when the saddle slipped and he was pulled off in 2017. That was one for Arthur's year. Sent off at 10-1, so has been fancied for it in the past. He's been a really underrated horse, hasn't he? Maybe it's because he's from the north. Maybe it's because he's got sort of less popular, less well-known connections, definitely, Red.
He's beaten Black Courton level weights, beaten lots of good horses over his career. He's won the, didn't he win the, I think the race on Trials Day, the Cheltenham Trials Day race? Yeah, he's a proper grade one chaser, always has been. I mean, he's not going to win the Gold Cup, but there was a time when people thought he would, were fancying him.
He was brought down in it last year, so we'll never know.
And this year he's had his preparation tailored around the one race. So, look, can he beat Tiger Roll? I don't know, but he can run well for sure.
Yeah, I was about to say, with Tiger Roll in there, it makes the weights really interesting because he's going to come in off just under 11 stone, is it? Something like that?
10 stone 12, 10 stone 10, something like that.
There you go. That's nothing, is it? So definitely Red has a definite chance, according to Tom. Darren, would you be quite as positive?
Not quite, but I wouldn't be fully negative either. I just wonder, maybe would last year have been his year if he'd skipped the Gold Cup, because he did come into it in reasonable form, and maybe is this a year too late for him? But at the same time, we did cut him to 14s from 25s for the Grand National off the bat, and like, he does carry that class edge that the Grand National winners seem to carry these days. But I'll give you the full rundown of the betting here. Tiger Roll is 5s, Annie Second House 12s, Burrow Saint is 12s, Definitely Red is 14s, Kimberlite Candy is 16s, it's a lot more than that 16s bar and 20s after that. I just wonder, is it a year too late for him? That's my fear. I know the older horses can win the Grand National, but I thought he was coming into it in very good form last year into the Gold Cup. Probably was a big price, and I'm just concerned, is this a bit late for him at this stage?
Okay, interesting. One horse I know you want to talk about, Darren, is Clondor Caitlin, who won the Grade 2 up at Kelso. Brian Hughes aboard. We'll talk a bit more about that title race in a moment. But I thought we would necessarily skip past this. But you think she's a really, really smart filly?
I like this now. I thought this was very good. I thought she was quite good the last day as well. And this, she took on the boys here at the weekend, and she put them to the sword. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying it wasn't a brilliant race, but her trainer seems to think she'll be better off in better ground. I don't know, do I necessarily agree with that, but I'll take her word for it. And for her to be winning over 2 miles, 2 miles 2 is pretty impressive given that she's bred to stay a trip. I think the plan is to run her once more this year and then put her away until next year. When she gets a proper trip, and if she does improve for decent ground, I think she's very good. She jumped really well here. She travelled through it, again, for a horse that is going to stay further. She travelled through this really, really well. Yeah, I think she's definitely one to side with. I'm not saying she's going to go and win a grade one or anything anytime soon, but she's definitely one to keep on the right side of. There's no hassle at all. She'll pick up another few pots.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I was really taken with a horse that ran at Doncaster, Capage, similar sort of horse, strong staying, heavy ground, long-term prospect. So it's not all about Cheltenham with these horses. Tom, any thoughts from anything else that happened at this weekend?
I was disappointed Newbury was off, Maddie. I watched a bit of Leopardstown yesterday and thought that it was old Charlie Parks came back, didn't he? And won, which was, I think, a bit of a surprise to everyone. I was really looking forward to seeing Annabelle Fly, actually. That, and sad to see him pulled out, because I think he's another one with national pretensions. He hasn't beaten a horse this year, but he's only running grade ones. And for the last 2 years, he's been giving loads of weight to Tiger Roll in the national, on the back of having run in the Gold Cup and running really well, being placed in 2 Gold Cups. So I think he's got 11 stone 2, getting £8 from Tiger Roll this year. So I was looking forward to seeing him. I don't know why he didn't run. A bit off-putting, but that was why I was tuning into Leopardstown. I was really looking forward to that race. So when he was in on run, it was a bit of a shame. But it was good to see Charles back, wasn't it? Because all the talk about him when he was a young horse, it's nice to see him finally get his head back in front.
Yeah, it certainly was. I thought that was very impressive. When he loomed up there on the bridle, I wasn't sure if he was going to go past, but he did, and in no uncertain fashion. Darren, we'll just jump back then to Kelso, because we're talking about Brian Hughes versus Richard Johnson in the Jockeys Championship. Richard's obviously been absolutely flying since he came back from injury, although Brian Hughes was the one who got the winner yesterday when they faced off. What prices are you for either of them to win the Jockeys Championship at the moment?
Yeah, very interesting, Maddie. I saw Brian actually turn Richard over on a 1-5 hot pot there at the weekend. So he's making a strike back. We're currently Brian Hughes 2-7, Richard Johnson 9-4. Like, this is going to go right down to the wire. I would nearly say 9-4 is probably a little bit skinny, but you know, the backing that Richard Johnson has, like, he coasted home last year, the last couple of months in the championship, and people are using that as a stick to beat him with, that Brian Hughes rode more winners in the lat round of the year. He'll want to hang on to this championship. He's the right man behind him and the right connections down south. You know, people are saying Brian Hughes might ride up the north next week. I think he might have a couple of rides in Cheltenham. This is going to go right down to the wire. There's going to be nothing in it for all the Brian Hughes does have a healthy lead at the moment. It was like Richard Johnson was never away the way he came back into the saddle there last week, riding, I think, his first 4 winners run, one or his first 3. So, yeah, this could be very, very tight, I think.
Interesting. He's recently teamed up with us, of course, at the Racing Post. And from what I can gauge from who spoke to him, it seems he's hungry as ever. Tom, I mean, would you necessarily bet on a title race like this? I wouldn't think so.
No, I don't bet on, you know, not too short, both of them for me, Maddie.
You'd be one in 50 to one about someone else.
Yeah, I know we've signed up Richard Johnson, so I'm probably a bit low to say. But it'd be nice to see Brian Hughes, wouldn't it, win it, I think. For up the north, they don't get many good horses up there. They don't have as many race meetings up there, and for him to do it would be a really good thing for them, for the sort of racing as a whole up there. So I'd like to see him win it. I hope he will. I think he will too. Actually, I think he'll hold on, because I think he'll get lots of support from all the northern trainers. So, you know, all those tracks he'll be getting on 4 or 5 favourites. Where you've got to remember that Dickie Johnson's going to struggle with all the big, you know, he only has Philip Hobbs really, doesn't he? And Ollie Murphy and. Paul Nichols always comes into really good form at this time of the year, and Nicky Henderson. So he's going to be riding in the big races, and they're harder to win. I think Brian Hughes will win it.
OK, that's interesting you talk about the tonic it would be for racing in the north. I mean, compared to years ago, how important do you think this Jockeys Championship is? Because I'm not so sure that many people get on board with it these days. Maybe I'm being unfair, but what do you think it could do for racing in the north if he were to win?
Nothing, but I think it gives the whole sort of, you know, the trainers and the people involved in racing a bit of a fillip. It not necessarily gives me or you or any racing fan, and we probably couldn't care less. But when you're up there, I've spoken to lots of northern trainers, and they all do feel that they're the poor relations of the sport. They do, whatever you say. And therefore, one of their own sort of was to win the title. I think it gives them all a bit of, you know, a bit more meaning, a bit more feeling, a bit more, you know, enjoyment in the whole thing. So that's, I think that's good. I would like it. I'd like to see him win. Nothing against Richard Johnson. He's won it umpteen times. And I just think it would be nice if someone different was on the list.
Yeah, certainly stir up some competition, wouldn't it? Speaking of title talk, the Trainers' Championship's getting very, very close indeed between Paul Nicholls and Nicky Henderson. Those old rivals are back at it again. Darren, what prices are we currently for that?
So Nicky Henderson is 2-5, Paul Nicholls is 7-4, and then Dan Skelton and Colin Tezard are 33s and 50s respectively. So it would look like a two-horse race. Not 100% sure exactly what the gap is between Nicky Henderson and Paul at the moment, but you would definitely say that Nicky has a much stronger team going into Cheltenham than Paul this year. For all, Paul definitely will have winners. In terms of actual overall numbers, I would say Nicky is much more likely to come out on top, especially, you know, he's the likes of the Champion Chase there. He's the favourite for the Champion Hurdle, for the Supreme Novice Hurdle, etc. Not saying he's a bet at 2-5, but I would say Paul is up against it this time around.
Okay, and Tom, I mean, I presume that you'd think that it would be folly to ever count Paul Nicholls out of this title race because he cares about winning it so much, doesn't he?
Yeah. I mean, lots going to depend on, you know, Grand National. Always does if Paul was to find something in the Grand National. Can't think of anything off the top of my head. I know Nicky's running Beware the Bear in that.
Okay, Corral.
Yeah, he's got a few shots at that. So it's a difficult one for Paul this time. But, yeah, you know, if Clan de Zobo was to win the Gold Cup, solo he's got loads of handicap chances, Frodon as well, he's got some pretty good chances at Cheltenham too. So definitely not done and dusted.
Yeah, he tends to target his horses and place his horses so well, doesn't he, Paul Nicholls? Doesn't necessarily always shoot for glory at the Cheltenham Festival. And let's cut to the chase then before we get to our break. It's the topic that everybody is talking about. It's the coronavirus outbreak and whether Cheltenham will be on or off. There's been a lot of hysteria on social media about this, lots of clashing opinions. So let's get the lads' views. Darren, I mean, there's an integral meeting today. We wait to see what comes out of that. Do you think Cheltenham's going to be on or off?
I'd be shocked if it's not on. Absolutely shocked if it doesn't go ahead. And I think to call it off is a level of virtue signalling and nonsense that doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you take the amount of people who are walking around London City every day, who use the tube every day, etc., etc., you can't keep people away from each other, as in, you know, unless you're talking shutting down public transport and shutting down cities. Cheltenham, there are more people at Premier League games over the weekend than are going to be at Cheltenham over the 5 days next week. So, or 4 days, I beg your pardon, not five yet, if we all have our way. But you know what I'm saying, as in, I would be shocked if it doesn't go ahead. I think if it was another couple of weeks later, there's a potential that if it became a pandemic, it might get called off. But I think it's you know, we're getting very close to the time now and it's going to be too late to call it off. I'd be shocked if it doesn't go ahead.
Okay. So, well, I hope you're right anyway. And I'm sure lots of us will as well. I can't bear to think what would happen if we lost a Cheltenham Festival. But Tom, I know you disagree in true Monday postcast style. You and Darren are taking each other on this one. You think it's going to be off?
Well, I have no idea really, but it didn't take very long for Italy to call everything off, did it? It didn't take very long for China to call everything off. You know, you can't move around in those things. If we get 200 or 300 people go down with it before next week, I think they'll seriously consider calling it off. They'll have to, because that's the way it's trending at the moment, isn't it? You know, they're going up. Cases are going up regularly. And they will stop people going on the tube. They will. If that's what happens, that's what will happen. You know, if it takes off. So I don't know. I think that these sort of things, I don't think we probably should, but I think we tend to err on the side of caution when these things come along, quite rightly, you know. Mm-hmm. And if there is any chance, or if there is 500 or 1,000 people infected with it by this time next week, which is possible, then it will. I think it will be called off. Yeah.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I mean, lots of people are saying, "Oh, it's just sporting events and all the rest of it," but there's a lot of money in this game, and it would be catastrophic for a lot of people if it was off for business as well as pleasure. And then when you talk about Cheltenham, as you say, you talk about Premier League, you talk about the rugby, you talk about everything. It's going to have a big knock-on effect, but ultimately, it comes down to the government. I mean, It's you know, I'm sure Simon Clayce, for as much as he would like it to come on and all the people at Cheltenham would love it to be on, it doesn't come down to them, does it? If it's in a position where it's going to endanger the public, then it will be called off, won't it?
That's what I think. And I don't know what the prices are now, Darren, but I know they were 5-2, 3-1 a few days ago, and it was 11-8 last time I looked. So I'm not the only one that thinks it's going to be off. Clearly, lots of people think that way too.
Okay.
It's back out to 9-4, 4-9. Noah's currently a 9-4 book.
Okay.
Is it? Well, there we go.
Yeah.
So the people are having more faith in it. But I don't know. I think still 9-4, isn't it? still quite short. If you'd have told me a week ago it was 9-4 Cheltenham would be off, I would have said you're completely bonkers. It's still quite a short price.
Okay, well, we've all got our fingers crossed. Hopefully Cheltenham will go ahead. We don't want the negative implications if that were to not be the case. We will take a quick break now, but stay with us because we're going to have a look at one of the really good handicaps pre-Cheltenham, the Imperial Cup.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Finding pastel de natas in a London cafe? Special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games? Not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast then, and hopefully we'll be racing at Sandown this weekend. The big race is the Imperial Cup, and it has a new sponsor. Paddy Power are offering the 100k bonus for any horse that can win this and then go on to win at the Cheltenham Festival. And Evan Williams is a man who has it in his sights with the current favourite, Mac the Man. Darren, just run us through your betting.
Well, indeed, Maddie, yeah, and we are 5 places in this race for each way terms as well, which I'm pretty sure is the best you'll get in the industry. So yeah, Matt the Man is our 11-2 fav. Christopher Wood is 8-1. Shake 'em Up Harry is 8s. Malaya is 9s. And Tukas is the one for money, 10s from 16s. Trincomalee is 10s. Dostal Phil is 11s. And it is 12s and figure the rest after that.
Okay, I thought a really interesting horse in this, Tom, was Shake 'em Up Harry. I mean, bearing in mind he's got that form behind Shishkin, a mark of 127. In theory, he could be really well in, couldn't he?
It's possible. It's possible, yeah. I mean, he was absolutely annihilated by Shishkin, wasn't he? But I think they think a bit of him. I'm not totally convinced by him. It would be very, very heavy ground at Sandown. It always is at this time of year. I mean, this race is notorious for being run in terrible ground. What do I think of him? He wouldn't be top of my shortlist. I like the one Darren mentioned there in Tukas a bit. I thought he was a really interesting horse. I know last year they thought an awful lot of him. And he was really impressive the other day. He beat a horse that was second to John Snow at Leopardstown on Sunday. And I thought he looked quite well handicapped, really. He liked the soft ground. He stays well. He likes... everything's in his favour. And if he does come over, I presume they're going for the bonus. I don't know which race he's entered in Cheltenham, but I thought he would run well on Saturday for sure. And I must mention Malaya, who won it last year.
Sweet on her, aren't you?
Yeah, she ran equally as well as she did in that race one at Ascot the time before. It's a little bit too far for her, but she likes... It was very similar. I think she's a pound higher than she was last year, or very similar mark to where she was last year, and she won really well, beating Monsieur Lecoq. I think they'd be my two at the moment.
So there are Tom's two for the Imperial Cup. Darren, who takes your eye?
I really like Nigel Twisted Davies horse, Sir Valentine. He's currently 12-1 from 14s. Thought he ran very well in a Betfair hurdle that probably didn't suit given they went so slow, and he got £4 for that, which I thought was harsh enough, because I don't think that was a great race. But at the same time, a stronger run race here on a track like Sandown, I think, will suit him down to the ground. He has good form behind Tom's Champion Hurdle Fancy, Not So Sleepy at Ascot, again in a race that wasn't really run to suit. I think Sandown as a track will suit him perfectly, and I find it very difficult to find him out at the front five there. He's definitely worth a flyer at 12s, I think.
Okay, we're going to go for a quick break now, but I'll be back and the lads will be able to answer some of your questions just after this.
What's my horse's handicap? The fact that you're backing him? Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+.
Welcome back to the final instalment of this Monday postcast. Now, we've got two questions in. Paul Smith, this is a good one. I think a lot of people are going to be wondering what's going on with regards to Cheltenham and the coronavirus. He says, if the worst comes to worst and Cheltenham is postponed or cancelled, have the panel any suggestions as to what we can all do from Tuesday to Friday? I mean, I'll still be here in work. Darren, what are you going to be up to?
I'd be in work as well. The joys of working in the gambling industry mean that Cheltenham is kind of like a holiday-free zone. But if you have the week work booked off work for any reason, enjoy yourself. It's a week off. A week off is a week off. But hopefully we won't have that issue. I am confident Cheltenham will be on.
And Tom, this is something very interesting we were talking about off-air, is that you don't tend to watch a lot of the racing live these days, so it wouldn't bother you that much.
Well, of course it would bother me greatly if it's not on, but actually watching it live, no, I don't tend to. I've got young kids, Maddie, and you know, on Saturdays and Fridays and things like that, I tend to be out with them watching them play basketball or ride horses or whatever they do. So I don't watch racing on a Saturday live anyway. So it wouldn't be the end of the world for me. It certainly wouldn't be. I mean, I'll miss the results, obviously, and I'll miss, you know, the atmosphere around it. But, you know, quite a lot of the time I'm floating around anyway. And it's so busy, as Darren and you said, when you work in the industry, you don't get 5 minutes to think anyway during Cheltenham. So it's not, I'm writing so much, talking, doing so many of these things that don't get time to watch it anyway. So it's not going to be, if it was off, I'd have a bigger holiday than all the other lads who are going for their holiday. So it wouldn't be the end of the world, but clearly, that's personal opinion, but clearly I'm desperate for it to be on it and be an absolute nightmare if it wasn't.
Mm. And when was the last time you went to the festival in the flesh?
Good question. Good 5 years ago, I would think.
Yeah. Okay.
Good 5 years ago. I think I saw one of Corto's or one of Denman's. Well, the Denman beat Corto or Corto won. One of those ones would be the last one.
That's a pretty good race to be your last sort of visit to Cheltenham. Darren, what about you? I mean, I presume with like us, I mean, I'm going to be there this year, luckily, if it goes on. But when was the last time you went?
I was very lucky. I got to go the last 2 years. I did a couple of podcasts out there last year, and the year before I got over for the day, just the day on the Tuesday. So I'm very lucky in terms of most lads that work around. It's just really difficult because everything that's going on, be it from a trading perspective, a commercial perspective, it's very difficult to get time to go over. It's our biggest week of the year, you know.
Yeah, certainly can understand that. Paul, I hope you have a good Cheltenham week. Fingers crossed it'll be on, so you won't need to take up our boring plans as to what to do elsewhere. Our next question is from John Skian. It's mainly for Darren, but want to get Tom's thoughts on it as well. Can Pat Kelly restore presenting Percy to be competitive in the Gold Cup? Darren, you don't think so?
Can he restore? Like, you say restore him, but like, I don't see any aspect of his form that justifies him to win the race. Like, you think he has to improve good £10 to win it? Like, as in, what has he really done or what has he achieved?
Well, he would have beat Album Photo a fair way if that horse wouldn't have come down in the RSA.
Yeah, fair enough. But that's one race, okay, in isolation, where he obviously that was his best performance, and that was a standout best performance. Before that, he'd only won like a handicap at Fairy House or something like that, and he won a Mickey Mouse Galmoy Hurdle last year. I don't see the obsession with this horse. I don't see the fascination with him at all. I think there's like a certain romance to it, maybe because of who trains him and all the rest of them. I don't really buy into it at all. I think it's a load of nonsense, and I wouldn't back him with stolen money, to be honest.
Okay. Tom, would you give presenting Percy a shot in the Gold Cup? He did pull up lame in it last year, so there's an excuse there.
No, I don't fancy him much, Maddie. I think he's sort of one of those sort of fairy tale horses that everyone thinks is better than they actually are. Everyone sort of believes the sort of the romance of the presenting Percy story. Do you know what I mean? That he's some wonder horse that is going to come. I mean, yeah, when you win a Cheltenham Festival race by 15 lengths like he does, everyone suddenly thinks he's the second coming. But as I agree with Darren, I don't think the form's there really for him to win it. Going back to the previous question, I'm going to be in trouble because I used to work for Channel 4 Racing. And so I was at Cheltenham for many, many years, probably less than 3-5 years ago. But I didn't have time to stay and watch the races. So I was there in the morning and went out the course before while everyone else was coming in. So before anyone
else. That's so depressing. What? And you just go home?
No, what we used to do is they used to put us up in a little house in Cheltenham Village. So while everyone else was watching the racing, I would be sat in a little tiny house tapping away at my computer, not knowing, didn't have telly, so I didn't know any of the results and didn't have any Wi-Fi. So I was doing it all on stuff. So I didn't know any of the results until one of the blokes I was staying with would come in from the races and say, your horse is lost.
Jeez. there's the glamorous life of TV for you.
See, well, they're all saying they sit there in the press room sloshing down the wine and, you know, that's not really the case.
Well, there you are. You've had an insight into what our guys will be up to on Cheltenham Festival Week. That's all we've got time for on today's podcast. Fingers crossed that the meetings go ahead this week and we get the health go ahead as well with regards to the coronavirus. Bruce and the team will be back on Friday's show. Don't miss that for all your weekend tips.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BGambleAware.org.